All right. Returning to the conversation. Now, Greg Glaude is a senior criminal justice policy fellow for Americans for Prosperity. And he's joining me today because we're looking at the, you know, the explosion of violent crime in this country. Greg, good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
I mean, honestly, violent crime in this country, and I'm not talking about the left would say, well, we need to get rid of guns. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all of the crime in these Democrat-run blue cities primarily. But it's also pushing out into the suburbs now, isn't it, and other places. The whole defund the police mentality, destabilize America mentality is resulting in massive amounts of crime, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw, you know, a rise, you know, in major cities in homicide rates by about 44% from 2019 to 2021. But we also saw a 25% increase in homicides from 2019 to 2020 in rural areas. So just like you said, Steve, this is not just a big city problem. This is starting to creep in, and the defund movement as well has definitely been an account for it into rural and suburban areas. So it's a nationwide thing, not just a big cities thing.
So, you know, we hear the word reform a lot and this and that. Well, what really needs to happen here is actually holding people accountable. The case that bothers me the most recently is the case of two drug dealers caught in California with 150,000 fentanyl pills. And within 3 or 4 days, they were let out on a PR bond. No money. Personal recognizance. 150,000 fentanyl pills. Enough to kill at least 150,000 people, maybe more. And they're released on their own recognizance? So just come back when you guys are ready. I mean, seriously?
Yeah, and we're seeing that across the country, these types of, you know, not looking at risk when people are getting released or not. You know, those two individuals, you know, I don't know the facts of that case more than what you said there, Steve. But, you know, those are two people that are obviously incredibly dangerous, don't have any regard for other people's well-being and safety, and being allowed to be released like that is just so against everything with public safety. And we're seeing that across the board. I remember a case in New York last November where a police officer was assaulted and, you know, bloodied and beaten up by a person who had already committed an assault on a police officer. And he was let out on a PR bond in New York City. So, again, we're seeing this type of, you know, progressive, quote unquote, movement really impacting public safety across the country, you know, from California to New York.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's these. At some point, George Soros realized that he had a soft spot, that being the prosecutors. And he went after that soft spot, decided if he could go soft on crime, that would be the fastest way. And here's a guy who clearly hates America, always has. And the easiest way to destabilize the systems was to destabilize prosecutors' offices. And you have these left-wing wacko prosecutors all over the country who will go after conservatives for gun crimes and just go berserk. But for other crimes, a host of them, nothing happens. Nothing at all, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it gets even worse in New York. I mean, there's multiple felonies and, you know, high level misdemeanors where judges can't even provide a financial bail or bond to allow for someone to actually have to pay to give them incentive to come back to court or to detain them. And so they actually have their hands tied even further, even if you did have a prosecutor that wanted to do something. So this is only going to impact you know, the progressive prosecutors of the New Yorks and L.A.'s and the Houstons of the world, but also, you know, the ones in suburban or rural jurisdictions that may want to detain someone if they're dangerous. I mean, laws have been being implemented at the state houses across the country that have limited that impact, and it's just not great for public safety.
So how do we get our hands back on it? I mean, obviously in San Francisco, it was a recall election, but these things take time, right? And
yeah, and oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, I mean, it takes time. It's not like you can just fix it. And the damage continues day after day, month after month, year after year, until, you know, people put together these long, you know, arduous recall efforts or whatever. It's nuts.
Yeah. And you know, the cities that I've seen actually be successful in kind of reversing this trend that we've seen across the country do have that cooperation and, you know, shared vision between the mayor, the police chief, their city council. And we're just not seeing that in a lot of places to actually prioritize public safety. I live here in the District of Columbia, and, you know, we have a mayor that's just pointing the finger back at our attorney general saying he's not doing his job. he points his finger right back at her. He says that, you know, she's not doing her job, and around we go. You know, a place like Dallas, for example, you have a police chief, a mayor, and a city council. They're all on board. They're implementing strategies that actually have reduced violent crime, as we've not seen in a lot of major jurisdictions. So that's what it's going to take. It's going to take those types of leaderships at the very local level, because crime is a very local issue, to come together. And unfortunately, we just do not have leadership in a lot of urban jurisdictions right now that is willing to do that, or even share the vision that we need to be, you know, combating violent crime. I think a lot of, you know, leaders think that this is just kind of the cost of doing business when you live in a big city like that. It's just absolutely unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. You know, and the other thing that I think that, you know, people really miss out on are quality of life crimes, you know, because they say, well, it's not a violent crime. That's where it starts. Greg Glott here. It starts with, it's not a violent crime, but, you know, see, you've got drug dealers on the corner. You've got drug addicts defecating on the sidewalk in front of your place and on your stoop and so forth. You call the police. Police say, well, are they doing anything wrong? Well, yeah, they're doing drugs and they're defecating my step. Well, yeah, anything violent? I mean, wrong? They don't care. Well, people have to live there, right? And so when you have these quality of life crimes, it drives the whole place down, and they don't prosecute quality of life crimes. And that's been going on for a lot longer than the Soros prosecutors have been around. We need to get back to enforcing crime, period. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you there. You know, I don't think we want, you know, we've done strategies before that have incarcerated people for quite too long. But actually enforcing these types of crimes, like you talked about, the quality of life crimes, are incredibly important, because I think they show a degradation of government and the breakdown of institutions, and allows for people to feel that they're able to do, like you said, higher level offenses when they're not getting, you know, enforced on these lower things. Again, in D.C., we have these, you know, illegal ATVs that fly around the city, up on the monuments, down the mall. Right. And it just shows this complete kind of breakdown of society around us. And that, like you said, leads to a petty theft over here, maybe a, you know, a mugging over here, to a carjacking. And we've seen carjackings.
It picks up speed. It multiplies.
Up.
It just gets worse.
Right.
All
exactly.
The time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Greg, I got to leave it right there. Yeah. Greatly appreciate it. Greg Glott, Senior Criminal Justice Policy Fellow, Americans for Prosperity. Greg, thank you for being here.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.
All right. I'll be right back.